Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
This is draft season. John Schmelk, Tony Pauline with you, fresh off our flights from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. If we're a little bit tired, we apologize. It was a long week in Indy. Tony was out there for a couple days longer than I was, but a lot of information gleaned, a lot of information that we want to get out to you, the fans, about the 2023 NFL draft. Tony, how are you, man?
Like you, a little bit tired. I mean, it's kind of a long, a little bit stressful time. I was trying to get more information day after day, but glad to be back. Now it's just a sprint till the end of April.
Yeah, a bit of a slog. Early mornings with player interviews, late nights with talking to people at various establishments throughout Indianapolis. So certainly a lot going on. Before we get into the details, Tony, just how'd the trip go for you? Any main takeaways that you might have walking out of Indy? You've done this, what is this, like your 48th combine, something like that?
Right. Actually, I've been to every combine since 2001. And this is, you're starting to see a change in the combine, which I'm not too fond of. You know, I think it's changing, not necessarily for the better. It's becoming more of a fan and media event than a pure scouting event. I mean, but otherwise, you know, my biggest takeaways are I was shocked that the receivers didn't run fast, did not run well. I was really impressed with the tight ends. And I think there were some very special defensive back seven players as we move towards the draft, which we'll get into.
Yeah, it's funny. I think the times all kind of confirmed what we were what we've been saying about this class for months, right? Really good cornerback class, wide receiver class, maybe not so great. And I think a lot of those kind of tight end class, running back class, I know the running backs didn't all do a ton, but I think it confirmed a lot of kind of what we thought about these groups heading in. So we'll go in order of which these guys did their measurements and their workouts and stuff like that. And it makes sense because the first group that went were the defensive linemen and linebackers. I saw the defensive line. And Tony, the biggest news of the week was about one of the defensive linemen that didn't even do any of the workouts. And that was Jalen Carter, because he had to leave Indianapolis, go back to Georgia, and come back because of a legal issue. I know you guys over at Pro Football Network were all over this. Tell everybody about what's going on with Jalen Carter and what the ramifications might be for him.
Well, we don't know. What's going on is, you know, arrest warrants were issued for Jalen Carter for two misdemeanors that had to do with that tragic accident, which killed one of his teammates where he was racing. And as far as, you know, what's going to happen? Well, the legal process has to be played out. And we still don't know what's going to happen with it. There's all kinds of speculation. I think for Jalen Carter, what has to happen is this has to end sooner rather than later. Because as we saw just a couple of years ago with Lael Collins, if you remember that situation, Lael Collins wasn't even a suspect in a case that involved the murder of his ex-girlfriend. Police just wanted to talk with him. And that story came out a couple of days before, was it the 2015-2016 draft? And Lael Collins went from a potential top 40 pick to being undrafted. So if this legal matter drags its feet and it's still unresolved by the time the draft comes, Jalen Carter's draft stock is going to tank. Even if it is resolved, a lot of teams are going to want to question him, because I think the big thing that has come out was Jalen Carter was changing his stories when he talked to authorities. So somebody said to me, he lied to police, which is kind of dumb. Somebody, why are you lying? Just tell them the truth. And that's something that teams are going to want to know about. You know, is he a trustworthy player? You can't make any assertion. You can't make any definitive statements as to what's going to happen because it's a legal issue now. Let's see what happens. And again, for Jalen Carter's sake, the legal issue has to be and has to come to a conclusion sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I think that'll help them that this is happening early in the process, right, Tony? So teams will have 2 months to kind of chew on this a little bit, or a month and a half, whatever it is now, and they can hopefully get more information so it's not, you know, gas mask day before the draft or day of the draft. It's not, you know, Lael Collins week of the draft. I think teams will have a little bit of time to digest this, just to really kind of settle themselves with it, decide they're comfortable with it or uncomfortable with it for that matter. Look, we never know what's going to happen. Just based on how I've seen these things work, I would still think, unless a lot of new information comes out that we don't know about, he probably still go in the top 10. But how do you think this impacts now that trade market at the top of the draft with the Bears trying to move out of that first pick?
Well, I mean, were there a lot of teams looking to move up to get Jalen Carter? I don't know that there were. Will,
but does it impact how maybe how far the Bears want to go down to get out?
Yeah, I guess it does. I've said all along with that trade market, I just don't know that there's going to be a big market for that pick. I don't know that any team is going to trade up for one of the quarterbacks and give away a slew of picks. I think if the Bears really want to trade down, they may have to accept less than market value to trade down a few picks. I don't think that they're going to say, okay, listen, let's trade down. We'll trade down to six now because now we have a chance of getting Jalen Carter or Will Anderson. They won't get Will Anderson, but getting Jalen Carter at six. I think if you do that, that's dangerous.
And we will get to the quarterbacks a little bit later. But let's start with the defensive lineman, Tony. We mentioned Jalen Carter already. We can go back and forth here, guys, that impressed us. I guess that's a good way to do this. And I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit. Out of Tomaue, out of Barre, out of Northwestern. And, you know, heading into this process, you know, people that I've talked to, and I think you're on board, this was kind of like, you know, early day three type of player based on his tape, right? But maybe late day two, blows up the Senior Bowl, played really well doing football things. Then he shows up at the combine at 280 pounds, runs a 4.49 40-yard dash, which is ridiculous. His 10-yard split was also very good. He looked great in the drills. He looks all rocked up. Like, he looks NFL ready, measured with 34-inch arms. Not tall, but considering the arm length and the natural leverage, I don't even think that's a bad thing necessarily. So for me, you know, he's going to be a second-round pick now. And I even wonder with some of this testing if teams will consider him at the end of the first round.
It's fine at 37 and a half inch vertical jump, 10 foot 5 inch broad jump. And I got to speak with him. I was in a hotel, the Omni Hotel, speaking with him on Wednesday night.
Really impressive kid.
Exactly. You know, and he is he fills out that chart. He is a broad shouldered dude. Yeah. He's very articulate. I walked through the hotel the next night. He saw me. He said hello to me. So obviously he's alert, or he just thinks I'm really weird looking, and he couldn't help but not know.
Likely.
Notice me, but yeah, I mean, I agree with your last statement. That's something I said at the Senior Bowl with somebody. I said, you know, the end of the first round, a lot of crazy things happen. There are a lot of strange picks. So after a Senior Bowl performance where he was dominating everybody, I thought, you know, I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't put it out of the question that this guy ends up in the late picks, the final selections of round one. I think that was amplified by his combine performance. I mean, smart, went to Northwestern, articulate, a real leader, doesn't have great size, bulk, doesn't have great growth potential. You can use him on the inside as a three technique lineman. You can use him in a four man front. He's a good pass rusher. He proved he's a good athlete. He told me when I spoke to him, he says, I'm going to run under 4.55. And he was right on the money.
No question about it. All right, Tony, give me your number one or another guy that you liked on the defensive line.
I thought Brian Brise did very well. I thought his testing marks were good. I thought he was fluid when he moved around the field. I thought he did a lot of things very well. And I think we're starting to see the resurgence, the reemergence of Brian Brise, who I think a lot of people off of that 2022 film said, but the fact is his younger sister died of cancer. He was dealing with a kidney infection. I thought overall he did a real good job. I was also impressed with Gervin Dexter of Florida.
Yeah, he was my next guy, man. Go ahead.
Tested very well. I mean, looked very athletic. And not just moving, not just smooth and quick and fast in a straight line, moved well laterally. Also did a good job when they dropped him off the line to simulate his own blitz. I thought he moved incredibly well, looked really athletic. He's a tall guy, so you can't miss him. He's very imposing on the field. I think he's got to play with a little bit better pad level, but I was very impressed the way Dexter played.
Yeah, 100%. I thought he looked great in terms of the bigger defensive tackles. Frame-wise, I thought he was probably one of the best. And obviously, Kalijah Kansi ran that 4.67 40-yard dash. Didn't really do much else, but he ran well, certainly. And I know a lot of people like him in that same undersized defensive tackle conversation.
And let me just say something about Clancy. That was – the 40 was of his own doing. He wanted to run the 40. He's got a torn labrum, and his team was telling him, listen, you know, just wait till Parody. He goes, no, I want to run the 40.
Oh,
and
wow.
I knew this was leading up. I want to run the 40. Because he wanted to show off, and basically he rolled the dice and he won. It's not going to lift before the draft because of the torn labrum. He's still rehabbing from that, but you know, just a couple of months removed from labrum surgery, and he goes out and he runs as fast as he does.
All right, can I go to defensive end and edges here, Tony?
Go right ahead.
All right, I guess let's start with Will Anderson, right? He's the presumptive first non-quarterback. We think that's going to go off the board, and while none of his testing like made you fall out of your chair and go wow. He ran a 4.640, a 1.61 10-yard split. Both are very good numbers. And you know, he weighed in at 6'3", 253. This is not like a small edge player now. I don't know why he was kind of mixed in with those linebackers. He looks like a defensive end edge player to me. Maybe he wanted to do the linebacker drills, which to a credit to him, good for him. He wants to do more. He went out there, he did everything. And I think, you know, his performance at the combine is not going to necessarily help his value a whole lot, because I think it kind of matched what people thought. And, you know, all this is about expectations, right? It matched what people thought he was going to do. And I think he did just fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. We're talking about a guy, 253 pounds. He only ran a 4.6. You know,
that shows
how times have changed. And yeah, I think at 6'3.5, it's probably going to be easier for him to go from 253 to 265. Rather than go down. So I think just as he physically matures and gets a little bit older, he's going to get bigger. He's going to get stronger, and he plays strong to begin with. So it's going to make that transition to come out of a 3-point stance much easier for him, or you can stand him up over tackle. Listen, I think with him, he didn't bomb. I think the only way Will Anderson was going to hurt himself is if he bombed. He went there and he ran a 4.8. The tape speaks for itself, and he shows enough athleticism during combine workouts. He only did the 40 to say, yeah, you know, the athleticism, the testing matches what we see on film. So like you said, I mean, didn't help himself, although there's not too much room for him more room right. to help himself. He certainly didn't hurt himself.
All right. Why don't you give us a guy, Tony, that you liked?
Well, I'm going to go with Nolan Smith. And I put this out on Twitter. I thought Nolan Smith working with the edge rushers, defensive lineman, was sort of a disservice to Nolan Smith. And I know it's a guy that we both like before the season even began. Ran faster than more than half the receivers at 4.39, had an incredible testing day, and he plays to those times. He plays to that explosion, that explosiveness. And he's good not only just up the field, but he's good backed off the line of scrimmage. He's outstanding in pursuit. You know, with Smith, you really got to go back and look at the 2021 film, because he had that pectoral injury this year. They shut him down after 8 games, and he was kind of piecemealed into the first 8 games of the season. And again, Smith is sort of Will Anderson amplified in the sense that those testing marks match, if not are even better than what you see on film with him. Nolan Smith plays to that 40 time on the field. He shows that athleticism on the field. We'll talk about a couple other guys who tested off the charts at the combine, but really don't show that athleticism on the field. Nolan Smith did that.
Yeah, a little smaller guy, 6'3", just 238. Also jumped out of the building, a 41-inch vertical, a 10.8 broad. So you're right, Tony. And then he was a star at the podium. What a high-character kid. He's going to come off great in meetings. He checked all the boxes. If anybody was wondering where he's going to go, if he gets out of the top 20, I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, the top. Yeah, I guess there's got to be a need there, but I think he absolutely has cemented himself as a bottom third of around one guy. Two other guys who I thought did incredibly well. Byron Young of Tennessee, who's an undersized edge rusher at Tennessee. Now you see that athleticism. He can play off the line of scrimmage. I also thought Lucas Van Ness really did well, not only testing, but in drills, because people talk about the 40 times and the vertical jumps. But when you watch the drills, he was very smooth. He showed the ability to move laterally with speed and quickness, as well as in a straight line and get depth on his pass drops. Excellent footwork, excellent quickness in his all-around position drills.
Yeah, for a guy that size, he moves really well. You can see, and you just look at him in his frame, Tony. Like, the dude just looks already like an NFL player. I see teams are going to meet him and see him in person. I see why people are talking about him as like a top 15, 20 pick. No question about it. Will McDonald did not run, but he did jump. He was very explosive, measured in around, I think, 239, which is where people thought he would be. He had 11-foot broad jump, which is kind of ridiculous. Miles Murphy did not do anything. He said he had a bit of a hamstring, if I recall. So that's a guy that did not work. Keon White didn't run either. Another guy that some people see as a first-round pick. And Tyree Wilson, who's dealing with a foot fracture, he got measured, but he also did not do anything in terms of some of the defensive linemen or edge players. So those are some of the names that people are going to be want to know about, but some of them did not do much. Others did. Anyone else you want to mention before we go on to linebackers?
No, we basically covered him all. Yaya Diaby of
He had a great – he had a good day. Absolutely.
Testaverro, 4.51 seconds at 263 pounds, 37-inch vert. And again, I mean, moved well on the field. Good change of direction, was on balance, you know, even looked good when they dropped him off the line and used him in as a defensive back for those to simulate zone blitzes. I thought he did exceptionally well.
Yep, with the 100 pin, I thought Yaya Diaby did do very well. And I thought Ramirez, too, the kid out of the – we talked about him in our Shrine preview, if I recall, Tony. Small school guy. I thought he looked really good in drills, too.
Yeah, and he's an explosive guy. He's a very sudden guy. We talked about him with Eric, when we had Eric Galco on here, and he basically lived up. He had tested very well in some of the tests. And that's with him, with Ramirez, you're getting a guy who, Will Anderson light, if you will. You know, can you stand up over, can come out of a three-point stance or can stand over tackle and you send him up the field as a pass rusher. Also does a solid job for you defending the run. Day three guy. I don't know that he's going to be a starter, but a situational player that can produce at the next level.
All right, let's go to the back half of the defense. They worked out on Friday night. And just a reminder, folks, this is obviously draft season. It is a NFL draft podcast with, I'm doing this in the Giants facility, but it's not a Giants podcast per se. We do all draft stuff here. But if you're a Giant fan, even if you're not, I really suggest you go back and look at the Giants Huddle podcast that we did in our Big Blue Kickoff live show from the Combine. We had over 25 guests over 4 days, including people like Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis, other really good guys on the draft and free agency. If you want to go check that out, we do a lot of league-wide stuff, not just Giants. So, again, go check that out. Giants Huddle podcast or Big Blue Kickoff live. All right, Tony, cornerback and safety. And, boy, these cornerbacks – I was flying that day, so I'm trying to, you know, walk through the airport. I'm looking at my phone, and I just see 435, 438, 436, 437. I'm like, what is going on here with these times for these cornerbacks? You know, we talked about, I think in your last mock that we did, you had six cornerbacks in the first round. Well, you might get more than that at this point, and they might go really early. They tested out the charts here.
And the other thing is this is, some of these guys look equally, if not more spectacular during position drills. And again, everyone will talk about the 40 times and the vert. And those are important because you have to know that a guy, you know, is fast. But some of the position drills, I mean, Christian Gonzalez, 4.38. I think he jumped over 40 inches in the vert. Let me take a quick look here. Had 41 and a half inch vert, 11.1 in the broad. But his position drills, he was seamless. He was fluid. Smooth. He was natural. Quick moving backwards. Showed the ability to drive through the ball out of his plant. Liked his back pedal. I mean, it was the whole package with Christian Gonzalez. The testing numbers were good. And if you're watching, you know, certain aspects or certain areas of the position drills, he checked off all the boxes there. I was very impressed with him. And I was not as high on Christian Gonzalez because I got to do a lot more film work on him. But I came away from that, the combine, saying, yeah, I can understand now why people are consider Christian Gonzalez the number one cornerback in the draft, the potential top 10 pick.
And Deontay Banks was wonderful, too. The cornerback out of Maryland, 4.35, 40-yard dash, Tony. Other Maryland players also had a good weekend. We could talk about that, too. Yeah. But, look, people see him as a, you know, press man type of corner. And boy, he showed the speed, and I thought he was really good in drills too. I can't imagine him getting out of the top 25, maybe at best, probably top 20 pick at this point with the way he did in drills and tested over the weekend.
Yeah, and somebody we've talked about, I've talked about, you know, in the lead up to the combine, someone who was under the scouting radar, wasn't even on the scouting radar last August. And what was happening was the Maryland coaches were telling scouts, hey, you keep an eye out for this guy. And he lived up to expectations. Again, with Banks, it's the perfect match between the testing numbers as well as the play on the field, because his position drills were good. You know, he's fast. He's probably, I was told, a low 4.3s. He ran a 4.35. That's fast enough at his size. And, you know, there are some areas of his game he needs to brush up, but he's definitely headed in the right direction. And that's what you want at the cornerback position. You want to get a guy. Sauce Gardner last year, you know, played better as a junior than he did as a sophomore. And then the scale or the arrow was pointing up. That's what you're getting with Deontay Banks.
Tony, he was what, 6 foot, 205? Do you have his measurements in front of you real quick?
I will have it in a second.
I know he was over 200.
He was 6 foot. You're 6 foot even, 197.
197. That is a really good size.
42 inch vert, 11.4 broad jump, 1.49 10-yard split, which is very, very quick.
And then one guy who, you know, had a good, you know, compared to the other guys, a good but not great time. Joey Porter Jr. I know a lot of people were concerned with his speed. That 4.46 is good enough. That's more than good enough. He's fine where he is. I'm surprised he didn't do more of the drills though.
I'm not, you know, the fact that he ran, I think is a good thing. You know, some of these, you know, a lot of these top rated guys, as we've seen in the past years, you know, wait till pro day. So I think Joey Porter did enough, did well for himself. A couple other defensive backs under the radar guys. I thought Travius Hodges Tomlinson of TCU was terrific. What do you run
here? Smaller guy,
4.41 in the 40, 39 inches in the vertical jump, 11 feet even in the broad. I mean, after Christian Gonzalez during the position drills, I thought Hodges Tomlinson was the best. With his footwork, he was super quick moving in reverse, flipped his hips, seamless moving about the field, very natural. Smaller guy, you're right. He barely goes 5'8", which is going to push him into the day three. If he was 3 to 4 inches taller and 10 to 15 pounds heavier, he's a first-round pick. But because of the size, he's going to be pigeonholed as a nickel or dime back. I thought Cottrell Clark of Louisville also looked exceptional during position drills. Ran a 4.42, but, you know, here's the guy we talked about during Shrine game, because he really stood out during the 3 days of Shrine Bowl practices, and he keeps the momentum going. Got to talk about Brian Branch. Brian Branch was one of those guys. First of all, it was interesting that Brian Branch, the safety at Alabama, worked out with the cornerbacks. Didn't run that well, ran in the high 4.5s, I think it was a 4.58, 4.59.
4.58, yep.
But then they're in position drills. He was exceptional.
No, his hips, the way he flips those hips, man, whoo.
Not only flipping hips, but the back pedal as well. Bimbing back and everything with him. You know, if he ran a 4.48, he's a top 15 pick. The 4.58 is going to raise some red flags, but he's an outstanding defensive back. And as I've said, you know, he plays a safety position like a cornerback, and here he was at the combine working out with the cornerbacks. He just didn't run as fast as many of them.
Yeah, you wonder if he's going to be one of those kind of slot hybrid safety types when all is said and done. A couple of names I'll throw out there, Tony. Cam Smith ran a 4.43, more than good enough for him. He'll be happy with that. Keely Ringo ran really fast, which, again, people expected that, so I don't think that's really going to necessarily help him, because that was expected, 4.36. Darius Rush, someone that can come on really well. He played great in Mobile. He ran a 4.36, and I was surprised up close seeing him, Tony, how big he is. Like, he's a pretty broad-shouldered dude. Like, to run 4.36 at that size, teams are going to fall in love with a corner that size that can do that. And then one of your guys, DJ Turner out of Michigan, he didn't do any of the drills, but a 4.26 40. Woo!
Explosive. I mean, he's a little bit of a smaller guy, which is going to have to, you know, you're going to have to figure out, is he a starting cornerback? But 5'11", 178 pounds. But yeah, and, you know, again, watch the film, because he is a terrific cornerback. Malcolm Forbes, Forbes ran very well, but he comes in at 6'1", 166 pounds.
And he looks 166 pounds. He is rail thin.
And that is, we've talked about that before. That's the problem with him, is his tall, thin frame. What do you do with a guy like that? Where do you draft him? You know, can he be a starting cornerback? Is he a nickel? You know, he's going to struggle in battles. If he puts on 10 to 15 pounds, is he the same athlete? Is he going to be able to keep that speed? So I think there are a lot of questions. Granted, he's the fast guy now at 166 pounds. What is he going to be at 185 pounds?
Yeah, and I'll throw one other guy out there too, another bigger guy, Tony, 6'3", Julius Brents, ran a 4.53 40, which is a good time for him. But more impressive, at that size and height, ran a 6.63 three-cone drill and a 4.05 short shuttle, which for a corner of that height is ridiculously off the charts. If you're looking for – he's like that classic Seattle Seahawk-type cornerback. Like, if you're looking for that type of guy – he's going to be very, very attractive to you.
Tariq Woolen a year ago, yeah. Right? A taller guy who was really not refined in his defensive back techniques because Brent needs work on his game. But, you know, you mentioned the three-cone time. You mentioned the short shuttle, 41.5-inch vertical jump, 11.6 broad jump. So he's got the physical skills. He just needs work to transition that athleticism into football ability.
Yeah, Tapo's only consistent up and down, no question about it. A couple other safeties, Tony, I'll throw out there to you. Sidney Brown is continuing to build a very nice postseason draft process. He was great at the Senior Bowl, runs a 4.47. He's thick, he's rocked up, he's going to go high in this draft. And then I know one guy some people were surprised at because, you know, frankly, he came off as being a little confident, I'll use that kind word, at the podium, Jair Brown out of Penn State. He did not run well, just a 4.65. And, you know, Penn State churns out athletes. Like, you go back through the combine in the past, right? The Penn State always test well. The fact that he didn't, that might raise some red flags for people.
I'm sure running much faster during Pro Day because Penn State Pro Day, they only run 35 yards. They don't run.
If you see those and times. It goes downhill too, right? I heard.
Yeah. And he, you know, you watch him on film, he doesn't have great range. We got to talk about, I like to talk about Jartavius Martin of Illinois, a guy who, really, like Deontay Banks, wasn't on the scouting radar this year, had a terrific season, 4.46 in the 40, 44 inch vertical jump, 11 foot one in the broad jump, 5'11, 194 pounds. Is he a cornerback? Is he a safety? Is he a nickelback? He showed time and time again. I mean, he was one of the better defensive backs at Illinois, which is turning into, you know, defensive back you this year anyway. And he came out of nowhere. He made a lot of plays on the ball. So I think there's a lot of promise there with Jartavius Martin.
Yeah, and then Christopher Smith and Jamie Robinson, two other, like, safety corner hybrids. One, I think Robinson ran a 4.59 and Smith ran like a 4.62. Yeah. So, look, you can get away with that in the slot, but that will give people, I think, some pause as to whether or not you can trust them in, you know, solo coverage against some of these really fast NFL receivers.
And the funny thing is, you know, Brandon Hill runs a 4.43, and, you know, do you go with the athlete in Brandon Hill of Pittsburgh or do you go with the football player in Chris Smith of Georgia? Because Smith has shown himself time and time again. He is a tremendous football player, just not a great athlete.
And Devin Witherspoon, who obviously some people believe is the top corner in the draft, he did not test. He did not do anything. That'll happen at the pro day. Tony, anything else on defense you want to talk about? Because it's funny, you know, one just general thought I'll throw out there is that after the defensive players tested, I talked to some people and they just put a new turf in to that dome. And some people even said to me, they think it might speed people up by almost, you know, 5 to 7 tenths of a second. And after these defensive players, especially cornerbacks, ran, I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe that's true. Then the wide receivers ran. I'm like, oh, no, maybe not.
The wide receivers are like, where was that turf? Because it wasn't on our feet, that's for sure. But, I mean, when you look at defensive players, just the athleticism. I mean, you had, I'm counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys under 4.5. Five defensive players ran, when I did defensive front seven players, defensive ends, edge rushers, I should say, ran under 4.5. Think about that. I mean, that is tremendous. And Yaya Diaba was at 4.51. So, you know, when you have these athletes that are 245, 250, 255 pounds running those times, you know, one guy we didn't talk about, Robert Beal of Georgia, was outstanding, 247 pounds. 4.48 in the 40 with a 1.62 10-yard split and a 10.3 broad jump. It's just the progression of things as far as the athleticism is concerned.
Yeah, Tony, I accidentally skipped over my off-ball linebacker section here. We should do that really quickly too, right? Trent Simpson ran the 4.4s, which again, I think people expected him to be there. Wasn't a huge surprise. Diane Henley, I thought, had a really nice day moving around, showed speed, undersized guy. And I want to highlight Jack Campbell out of Iowa, who whose 40 time was good, very, very good for the position. But then for a guy that size, he set records with his three cone and short shuttle times. And I thought he really solidified himself as a really safe early day two pick if you want a guy that can play three down linebacker for you.
I mean, of Drew Sanders, Trenton Simpson, and Jack Campbell, Campbell has always been number one on my board of the three because of what you see on film. And you see that lateral movement. You see that change of direction. You see the ability to move in any direction quickly with Jack Campbell. One guy I want to mention as far as off-ball linebackers or pure linebackers, Anthony Orji of Vanderbilt, who a lot of scouts thought was a 4.8, 4.75 guy, runs 4.53, vertical jump 38.5, 10-foot-2-inch broad jump, three cone, 7 seconds flat. Really, when you talk about the combine, you mentioned it, you want to defy expectations, you want to beat expectations. Orji did that, and I met him at the Shrine Game. We interviewed him, and let me tell you something. I mean, he's one of those guys where he squeezes your hand when you shake his hands, and you're like, whoa, your hand is throbbing for the next couple of minutes because he is a big, tough guy. And for him to put up those marks compared to what scouts expected, I think Orji is going to be a day three pick, but he's really solidified himself potentially in the middle of day three where he was sort of maybe on the edge of being draftable before Combine weekend.
I should ask you about Owen Papo, Tony. Yeah. We've not talked about him much on the show. I have not seen his tape, but he ran a 4.39 40-yard dash, smaller off-ball linebacker. Give me a little.
And he plays like that too. I mean, what he is 6 foot, 225 pounds. He's a run and chase linebacker. As I like to say, a pursuit guy. He's also got decent instincts. He gets from point A to point B very quickly. Had 29 reps on the bench, although you know when you watch the film, he needs more of a free shot at the ball handler because he gets caught up in the trash. He's easily out positioned from plays. Did I expect the 4.39? No, but I did expect a very fast time from Papo because that's the way he plays.
All right, let's get to the offense, the glitz, the glam, the shine, the QBs. Bryce Young did not participate, but he weighed in at 5'10 and a half and 204 pounds. I'm sure he was drinking a lot of water before that weigh-in. I'm sure he's not going to weigh in again for the rest of this draft process, but I think he kind of checked the box that he was looking to check there, getting over 200 pounds on the scale.
And I think what happens is with the weigh-ins, scouts are going to look at the body type and they're going to say, okay, 204. Can he play at that weight? As you said, he probably won't weigh in at pro day. If he works out at pro day, he may work out at, may have his own pro day out on the West Coast. But they look at it and say, you know, can we get him up to 210? Can we get him up to 212? Can he continue to add more muscle mass, more density to that frame? And if he does, how is that going to affect his play? So, yeah, he was over the 200 mark. Remember, what they do is now the weigh-ins happen before the workout because of that whole scam, if you will. Drink a lot of water, get your body weight up. He got the body weight up. He didn't work out. We'll see what happens moving forward, but it's a matter of, does he have any growth potential? Is he going to be able to put any more beef on that frame?
All right, let's talk about the rest of the quarterbacks here, Tony. And I think they kind of reinforce what we already knew about him. If people are going to make a big deal about everything that happened, then I get it. But I think these guys are still who they are. And I'm going to use some NBA analogies here. Like Bryce Young's the scorer, right? He can do it a lot of different ways. He's kind of like Steph Curry. CJ Stroud's the sniper. He's Klay Thompson, right? He's open. He's precise. He's making the three. He's not super duper creative. You know, Richardson is Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's just a freak show. He's going to overpower you. He's bigger than you. He's faster than you. He's more athletic than you. And then you have Will Levis, who's just a really big, like Julius Randle type. He's going to overpower you. You know, it might look a little sloppy sometimes, but he's got all the tools. And look, Stroud throwing the football looked like the most accurate quarterback there. It was smooth. It was tight. He was pinpoint. Well, we saw that on tape. That shouldn't surprise people, right? Richardson ran a 4.43, a 1.53 split, 40-inch in the vertical, 129 in the broad, and he looked like a more athletic version than Cam Newton. He's a freak show, right? But maybe we didn't know he was going to do exactly that, but we all knew he was an unbelievable athlete, so I don't know if that should really change thoughts. And then Levis had a great arm, and his jumping numbers were good, and he looked the part. So to me, these guys were all impressive. but they kind of, to my point earlier, met the expectations of what we thought they were going to do.
Listen, I put out a tweet during the workout Saturday. I said, Levis, Richardson, and Stroud all had their moments, but nobody killed the combine workout. And I got a lot of pushback from that because people were saying this, it was the greatest, C.J. Stroud's workout was the greatest quarterback workout they had ever seen at the combine. And I go back to watching Joey Harrington and watching Ryan Mallett, where they hit everything in the short field, in the intermediate field, and down the field. I spoke with somebody about C.J. Stroud, an Ohio State person, to ask what their thoughts were. They said, I thought he was very good. His short and intermediate stuff was good. He struggled down the field, which is unusual because he's one of the better vertical passers. As far as Anthony Richardson, you know, I'm going to go back to what I've been saying all along, boom or bust. Anthony Richardson made some very nice passes during his combine workout. He also made some catches where you're like, you know, WTF, if you know what I mean. You know, they were all over the place, some of his throws, which tells me like, yeah, if you get Anthony Richardson to play to the best of his ability, to play up to his ability as a quarterback, and you teach him to be a passer, you got a franchise quarterback. But that is a very tough thing to develop. Will Levis, I was least impressed with Will Levis, and I talked to got information from an offensive coordinator that said, one, they thought Will Levis is too big. He's too muscle-bound. He's very stiff. He wants to show off his strong arm, which he said he was going to do, which we all know he can throw the ball 80 yards down the field, but can he put touch? Can he put is he a rhythm passer? Can he basically hit guys on timing passes? He struggled there. They question Will Levis's fundamentals, his footwork, his hand placement, things like that on the football. So of the three, you know, they like Richardson, they like C.J. Stroud, Will Levis was down the line. The guy who had probably one of the most surprising, and if not surprising, the most underrated quarterback workout that a lot of people weren't talking about was Aiden O'Connell of Purdue. Because if you
very accurate.
And when he missed, he wasn't missing behind players, or he didn't have players slowing up in their routes to catch the ball. That's a timing issue. He wasn't able to drive the ball downfield like Anthony Richardson. But he hit on two of his three deep outs. And the deep outs is the money throw at the combine workout. The one he missed, you know, the receiver was out of bounds. He still hit him in stride. So I thought Aiden O'Connell did very well placing the ball. One thing about C.J. Stroud, which was interesting, where I was sitting at the workout, you could tell compared to Richardson and Will Levis, C.J. Stroud was delivering his ball before the receivers were out of their routes. Yeah. Where Levis and Richardson was waiting till the guys were out of the routes to deliver the ball. And what that does is that leads to a lot of incomplete passes or errant throws. It also leads to the fact that on Sunday, the defensive back, the cornerback, can be able to get a jump on the ball because the receiver's already out of his routes and before the ball's on its way, as opposed to what C.J. Stroud was doing. He's throwing the ball where he expects the receiver to be.
Now, remember, too, they're unfamiliar with these receivers, so it's tough to get that timing right. So I get that. But look, bottom line here, Tony, all four of these guys are going to be gone in the top 15 picks. I can't imagine all four aren't, and that's just the way it's going to go. And we'll be talking about where and how and who over the next month and a half. All right, let's go to wide receivers here, Tone. Addison ran a 4.49, the presumptive top pick, 1.56 split, jump 34 and 122 inches on the jump. Let's start there. Do you think his 40 time hurt him a little bit? I think people thought he'd go a little bit faster than that.
Now, I was told he's going to go a little bit faster. I'm not going to be presumptive that Addison's going to be the first receiver off the board because Smith.
No, maybe not. Absolutely.
Smith has been my number one. I think he did have the back tightness, which basically he pulled out after I think he did one or two drills. I was told this morning that he's going to be fine, going to be ready to go for USC Pro Day. So if he's got a little bit of a back issue, let's see what happens. You know, you want to see him hopefully run in the mid to low 4.4s. I'm sure that's going to happen at USC Pro Day.
All right, I want to go to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He did not run the 40. No. My guess is he's going to do the Drake London strategy that me, you, and Crocker talked about last year and just never run the 40. It would not shock me. Maybe he'll do it at Ohio State Pro Day. We'll see. But boy, he looks smooth in his routes, Tony, in and out. Look like a technician, not surprising given, you know, what they do with that Ohio State program. But then he ran the agility drills, and he ran a 3.93 short shuttle and a 6.57 three cone. The 3.93 short shuttle is the fastest wide receiver or any short shuttle since a player has run since 2014. And I think it just shows you that this guy is going to be able to get open. I don't know about the pull away speed, but especially if you need a slot guy, this guy is going to be able to get open for you and create separation at the top of his routes.
I had those numbers sent to me via text, the three cone and the short shuttle. And I tweeted it out and I put unofficial, unofficial. And I said, if these times hold up, these are elite times. The reason I put that, I was like, wow, these times are really, really fast. I mean, these are really, really good times. I wanted to be out there with the times, but I wanted to kind of hedge my bets in. And yeah, I mean, that 6.57 three cone, you know, safeties wish that they could run that that time, because it shows the ability to change direction quickly, seamlessly, and not gather. You know, you talk about the DBs, a lot of times they need to gather before they change direction. You know, with Smith Ejigba, doesn't have to. It's just an easy back and forth for him. And you saw that in his route running in 2021 when he was on the field. That's why he was the best receiver at Ohio State that had Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and had Marvin Harrison come on late in the year. So I guess it's not unexpected. We'll see if he runs. I mean, listen, if he runs a 4.45, and I thought he was going to run a 4.48, I mean, is it going to really matter that much? Because you know he can catch the ball. You know he can separate. I mean, he's sneaky fast in the sense that he finds the open seam and he gets down the field. So he's not going to be as fast as Quentin Johnson or whoever. But you know what? He's going to catch a ton of balls between 10 to 15 yards and an occasional deep throw.
You know, Jalen Hyatt did not break that, you know, 4.3 barrier, which you thought he would, but 4.40 is fine. Had a couple of drops, though, over the course of the field workout. So, you know, some people didn't like. I thought Zay Flowers and Josh Downs, Tony, two guys I kind of have in the same category. I thought they were good. Both show they can catch the ball, change direction, stuff like that. And I thought Quentin Johnson had a pretty good day. He didn't run the 40, but I thought his field workouts were pretty good. He caught the ball in the gauntlet drill, and he jumped really well. 40-inch vertical, 134 broad.
Yeah, I two guys who really stood out to me, two day three guys. I thought DeMario Douglas, 4.44 in the 40, 39.5 in the vert, 11.2 in the broad jump. But his position drills were outstanding. I mean, he is a smaller, quick guy who separates. I think he's going to be really a good value in day three as a potential slot receiver return specialist. I thought Jason Brownlee of Southern Miss had a great position workout. Didn't test all that well, was like 4.59, but he caught everything. He ran really good routes. And I think our buddy Jaden Reed did really well. I mean, he was...
with like one eye, by the way, which was crazy.
I'm sorry?
With one eye. He had that eye infection. He couldn't even see out of one of his eyes. It was crazy.
4.45 in the 40. The position drills were outstanding. Just showed the ability to separate, ran great routes, very quick, smooth in and out of his breaks, quick in and out of his breaks, and caught everything in sight. And you know, we talked about guys who test well, but the testing is better than the position drills. That was Bryce Ford Wheaton, as far as I was concerned. I mean, he tested through the roof. It's 221 pounds, 4.38 40 with a 1.54 10-yard split, 41-inch vertical jump, 10.9 broad, 6.97 three cone. But when the position drill started, it was a different story. All of a sudden, he went from a guy who ran 4.38 in the 40 to looking like a guy who plays at a 4.55. And he had his struggles running routes, and he had his struggles catching the ball at times. So, you know, the athleticism's there, the upside's there. It's just a matter of getting Bryce Ford Wheaton, who was a good receiver for West Virginia. I'm not knocking the guy for that. Was a good receiver at West Virginia, getting him to practice and play at those testing times that he showed in Indianapolis.
Two other guys I thought did a nice job, Tony. Then I want to ask you about two guys, whether or not you think maybe teams will have a couple of questions about them after the day. I thought the Princeton kid, Yeshivas, 4.43 40, he did real well. He tested well. Yeah. Not surprising. He's a guy that he's a track guy. He does all the events, so he did well. And I thought Charlie Jones was really good. You know, 5'11", 175, ran a 4.43. I was afraid he might be in the 4.5s, but he wasn't. He jumped pretty well, 36 inches in the vert, 124 in the broad. I was wanting him to do the agility drills, but I think he'd be really good at it. He didn't. But I thought Charlie Jones, whose tape is excellent, he's got great hands, he looks smooth in the drills. This guy's going to be a day three pick, Tony, and he's going to play NFL wide receiver for a long time. He's fast, he can catch it, and he can get open.
Just as long as he medically holds up, because I've heard he's got some hip issues, which would lend to why he didn't run the three cone or the shuttle, because it's such a quick change of direction. Got to tell you, because I was at the workout on Saturday, and Charlie Jones, being a Purdue alum, just like Aiden O'Connell, was a fan favorite. I mean, he would step up, he'd do a drill, and the crowd would go crazy. You know, the well-traveled Charlie Jones, Purdue was his third college team after, what was it, Rhode Island and then Iowa.
Yeah.
Really just made a connection with Aiden O'Connell and was the go-to receiver that couldn't be stopped. Doesn't play to a 4-4-3 on the field, although I'm told he's a track guy. He's one of those guys that ran 4-4-3, but when you watch him on film, like you said, he looks like a more of a 4-5-5 guy. It's just a matter of getting him to translate that speed onto the field. I agree with you. If he holds up, if he stays healthy and he shows some durability, he's going to be a real good day three, fourth receiver at the next level.
All right, two guys, if they hurt themselves, Tony. I thought Tank Dell was going to run better than a 4.49. Only 165 pounds. He killed Mobile. No one could cover him. I thought he was faster than that, to be quite honest with you. And then Michael Wilson, I know, is a bigger guy, but he only ran a 4.58. Do you think that hurts him a little bit?
Going to hurt Wilson. Tank Dell, teams had Tank Dell a lot faster. I can tell you that from talking with them. Teams had Tank Dell faster than what the NFL has his official time at, in the low 4.4s. But everyone, I think, would have put money down if they bet that Tank Dell was going to go under 4.4.
Right.
And as I said on Twitter, you know, forget about the 40 time. It would, you know, Tank Dell may have run a 4.49. One position drill started, he looked like a 4.3 guy. He's quick off the he releases off the line quickly. He runs good routes. He has a burst in his game. He was catching everything. He was out running passes during the gauntlet drill. So yeah, again, there's 40 time and then 40 speed and then there's football speed. Tank Dell, regardless of what the stopwatch said, really has great football speed.
All right, let's jump over to the tight ends. Tony, is there any other wide receivers you want to hit?
No, I thought Jonathan Mingo actually did very well. The receiver,
yeah, he ran faster than I thought. I thought he would be a mid 4.5s guy, but I thought he was your 4.46.
4.46, 39.5-inch vertical jump, 10.9 broad, 22 on the bench at 220 pounds. Yeah. Very much AJ Brown type, you know, that sort of bigger but quick receiver. Caught the ball well, did well in position drills, and he was a guy who caught everything at Mississippi, although it was Malik Heath who was the number one lineup because teams were focusing on Mingo so much. So I think Mingo's one of those guys that's going to be a day two sleeper in that he's going to fall through the cracks, but he's going to be a real good player at the next level.
All right, let's go to tight ends, Tony. And this group did not disappoint. Dalton Kincaid did not work, but he did measure in 6'3.5", 246. He's dealing with, I think, back injury, correct? So he's someone that will hopefully work at his pro day, but we'll see as he tries to work back from that injury. Where do you want to start here, Tony? I will let you lead us.
Well, I think we start off with the fact that as disappointing as the receivers were running the 40, overall, the tight end group was phenomenal. I mean, so many guys ran so much faster than we expected. Darnell Washington, 4.64 in the 40 at, 264 pounds. Also runs a 4.08 20-yard shuttle.
Yeah, that's the crazy one to me, Tony, because even watching him on the field, like, he kind of lumbers. I was shocked when I saw his short shuttle time.
Right, and he even lumbered during position drills.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
But Michael Mayer, 4.7. I've been saying for the longest time, I didn't think Michael Mayer was going to break 4.8. He runs 4.7. You go to the top, Zach Kuntz, who only played half the season last year because of an injury, runs a 4.55 at 6'7". Sam Laporta, who we both love, gets under 4.6. I think overall, it was a terrific group. I thought that Zach Kuntz of Old Dominion really helped himself probably the most. 6'7", 6'7", 255 pounds, 4.55 in the 40, 40-inch vertical jump, 10.8 broad, and he caught the ball very well. And Kuntz was highly rated coming into the season by NFL scouts, but I think he played only 5 games last year, and then he went down with a season-ending injury. So it's a situation where you have some film on him in 2021, a little bit of film on him in 2022, coming from Old Dominion. Which Zach Kuntz are you getting? I think scouts will come and teams will say, yeah, this was the guy that we had so highly rated coming into the 2022 season.
Yeah, I just want to put an exclamation point on Laporta, Tony. 6'3", 245 was his measurement. You mentioned his 40 time, 4.59, 35 inches, 123 inches on the vert and the broad. And then a 6.91 three-cone drill.
Yeah.
And he was so smooth, and he just catches so easy. He changes direction so easy. Somebody's going to draft him in the second round, and he is going to be just as good as those guys that got picked in the first round. I'm telling you.
Very natural catching the ball. I mean, look like a receiver, the way he extends his hands and looks the ball in, and, you know, he's got a nice frame. He was a decent blocker at Iowa, did a lot of things very well, and I agree with you. You know, doesn't on film, he doesn't look like that field stretcher, like that move tight end. But listen, we've seen Iowa churn out tight end after tight end, and I think LaPorta is obviously the next tight end. And I agree with you. He'll probably be off the board within the first 10 to 12 picks of round two. Probably you can make the case for him for being a late first round choice. And I think he'll impact as a rookie and a guy that's going to produce both as a pass catcher and a blocker.
How about your guy, Tucker Kraft?
Probably a little bit slower than what I thought. His other testing numbers are pretty good. Caught the ball very well. I mean, when I watched him out, he was adjusting to the ball, extending his hands, looking to pass in, looked very natural catching the ball. I thought he would run a little bit faster.
All right, and last guy I'll throw out there, and, you know, this is the expectation game, right, that we talked about earlier. Everyone told me Luke Musgrave was going to, like, run out of the building and do all these crazy things. And his times are fine. 6'6", 250, ran a 4.61. That's a really good time for a tight end. But the way people got in my head heading into this thing, Tony, I thought he was going to run like a 4.42.
Yeah, we were told he was going to test off the charts. But still, again, you know.
It's a good time.
4.61 is a good time for a possession receiver. You're talking about a 253-pound tight end that goes 6'6", catches the ball very well. I also think he plays a little bit faster than that on the field.
Yeah, Luke Schoonmaker ran a 4.63, which is also a pretty good time, too, at tight end. He had a nice little day out there as well. All right, let's go to running back, Tony. And we talked about him at the end of the preview last week. Devin Achane, 4.32, led the way. Just 5'8", 188 pounds, though. So you wonder how team's going to use him. And then Jahmyr Gibbs ran a 4.36, which I don't think I thought he was going to run that quick, that fast. But, boy, he was fast. We know he can catch the football, too. You wonder if he's going to figure out a way to sneak into the back end of that first round.
You know, Achane, you know, he's short. He's not small. I mean, 5'8 and a half, 188 pounds. You know, he's got a stocky build. So he's, I don't think he's short, but I just think he's a little bit small, exceptionally quick during the position drills, the footwork drill that they did. You know, what was interesting to me is if you watched it yesterday is with the running backs actually did more pass catching drills than they did running drills. You know, they used to have them run through the cones, and they were doing more catching the ball than they were actual carrying the ball. But when he did, he showed that speed during position drills, easily changed direction, didn't have to gather himself, very fluid, very smooth. Listen, I agree with you about Jahmyr Gibbs. I've said all along, I think he's, you know, if the Philadelphia Eagles don't take a running back with that first pick, and Gibbs is, and Bijan Robinson is going with that second pick, that's the way they go. He is a complete three-down back. Showed good footwork during position drills. Also caught the ball exceptionally well, which he does on film. I like Bijan Robinson, but I think Jahmyr Gibbs has made the case for himself to be a first-round prospect, even if he's not taken in round one.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson was great. 4.46 40, 37-inch vert, 10.4 broad. Just really nice job there. And two other guys, Tony, that I think helped themselves is I thought Chase Brown's 4.43 will help him an awful lot. And I know it's not an unbelievable number, but two guys that I think people see as more kind of plotting between the tackle guys, Evan Hull ran a 4.47. And then Zach Charbonnet ran a 4.53. And I think that's going to, even though those numbers aren't like wowing you, I think based on what they look like on tape, I think those numbers are going to reassure talent evaluators that, yeah, we can pick these guys and they're athletic enough.
Well, the thing with Brown is 40-inch vertical jump, 10.7 broad jump. He was also outstanding in position drills. Showed good footwork in that bag drill. Showed the ability to change direction or alter the angle, angle of his run seamlessly. Caught the ball very well. I absolutely agree with you. I think Chase Brown, who on film comes across as a between the tackles downhill ball carrier who carried the load at Illinois, and you wonder if he was going to be able to do that on Sunday, showed a lot of speed, a lot of quickness, a lot of potential versatility in his game at 209 pounds.
Yeah, no question about it. Kenny McIntosh, I think his 40 time probably has to be a little bit disappointing for him, right? 4.62.
And he didn't really look all that great in position drills. He was gathering himself. He had to basically, like you said, pitter-patter, gather himself to change direction. I was expecting a lot more from Kenny McIntosh, who was, you know, from scouts, was a really good athlete who had to develop into a running back.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, any other running backs you want to hit, Tony? You want to go to offensive line here?
I thought Rashawn Johnson looked good, 4.58, but he was really good in drills, looked very quick. Changing direction, and Rashawn Johnson of Texas, who basically played second fiddle to Bijan Robinson, a bigger back who is a solid pass catcher, terrific short yardage runner, and an outstanding blocker, which I think is going to be very appealing to teams.
All right, I'll start on the offensive line here. I'll start with the guy that was really impressive with his testing, and then you can go whatever direction you want, Tony. And we talked about him, I think, coming out of the Senior Bowl, Blake Freeland, pardon me, measured at 6'8", 322, 4.98 40-yard dash, 1.68 split, 37 vert, 120 inches on the broad. Boy, he's a big man. He's a really good athlete. I know he struggled on tape with some power and stuff like that with his height, but a team's going to say, look at these tools. We're going to be able to mold this guy into a good player. He's not getting out of day two with those metrics.
He shouldn't, but we'll see what happens, because there's a lot of good day two offensive linemen. And like you said, a bigger guy like that, why is he having so many problems with power? We saw at the Senior Bowl, he had a lot of real nice reps at the Senior Bowl. And then there were times where he was beaten flat. So scouts got to decide, got to come to a conclusion. Our team's got to come to a conclusion. Why is he struggling with that? Obviously, the upside is there. You know, you can use him in a zone blocking system because he's so athletic out on the second level. And BYU has a history of producing, you know, decent offensive linemen. So I think that, you know, you got to come to the conclusion is, why isn't Freeland, you know, one of the top five offensive tackles, wasn't considered in an offensive tackle class that's considered weak? So that's, you know, that question has to be answered. Couple of things. I thought that the Tennessee tackle, Darnell Wright, tested much better than I ever expected. I mean, he looks like a big, powerful, plodding offensive lineman. Goes out there, 5.01 40 with a 1.81 10-yard split, which was pretty decent. So you know that he could move. I thought Steve Avila didn't have great testing numbers, but boy, he moved incredibly well on the field. Laterally, his footwork, the ability to slide off the edge. I thought with the Villas, you know, we think of him as a power gap blocker. But what he showed me yesterday, I'm like, you know what? It's probably wouldn't be out of question if you want to use him in a zone blocking system or on the second level on occasion. I thought a couple other guys, before we get into the big ones, Anthony Bradford of LSU looked really good in position drills. Sidi Sow of Eastern Michigan, a guy that I've watched for 3 years now, had a tendency or had a reputation of being overweight and being soft. He looked really good. Solid testing numbers. Let me pull it up here real quick. 5.07 in the 40 with a 1.8 10-yard split, 32-inch vertical jump at 323 pounds. I thought he had a real good day.
Yeah, I thought Luke Whipler had a good day too, Tony, to be honest with you, one of your guys. And then give me your deal on Skoronski. We've been talking about his arm length for a while. And, you know, people have made that Rashawn Slater comparison because they're both obviously Northwestern kids. Slater looks like a better athlete, 33-inch arms, and Skoronski just came in at 32.25, which for an offensive tackle is really short.
Yeah, and I don't think Skoronski's the athlete of Slater. He didn't move as well. Remember, Slater didn't have a combine because that was the COVID year, so he had his pro day. Skoronski, to me, and I texted you during the workout, you know, I know you watched it. He just, you know, when I saw him on the field, he looked good, but he didn't jump out like a top 10 pick. I mean, you know, we're getting some of the other guys, Roderick Jones, Paris Johnson. You could see them, their movement skills. You're like, wow, you look at their size. You're like, wow, Skoronski really didn't wow me moving around the field yesterday.
All right, Tony, final thoughts before we say goodbye on the 2023 NFL Combine in les books.
I think Broderick Jones really helped himself, a guy who, you know, you came in here and you're thinking, well, maybe mid first round choice. I think now he's probably jumped into the top 12. I think, you know, like every combine, there were some really outstanding performances. And then there were some guys who really going to have to turn it up a couple notches at pro day.
Remember, trust the tape, folks. The combine gives you a reason to like cross check stuff and double check what you watched already. But it's still the tape that trumps for all evaluations when you take a look at these guys. But remember, though, the measurables. Teams have thresholds. Guys will get taken off boards if they don't hit certain things with height, weight, speed, things like that. So it's important, and it's just another piece of information in the process that we now have going forward as we are under 2 months before the 2023 NFL Draft. Tony, we'll continue the process next week, man. Thanks so much.
Look forward to it.
For Tony Pauline, I'm John Schmelk. This is Draft Season.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.